When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. Great pleasure to be with you on Labor Day weekend. We're talking about labor-related issues. We just had Senator Phil Graham on, why government subsidies are killing worker participation, helping the lower incomes don't work. Get paid, don't work. Meanwhile, the middle incomes are stagnant. So go figure. It's not a good story. Anyway, I want to turn to my pal Michael Faulkner, professor of finance at the University of Maryland. He was a former assistant secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy. And he's written a good piece here on how dumb it is for the Bidens to compare the student loan forgiveness, which is just election year vote buying anyway. Anyway, trying to compare the forgiveness of student loans with forgiving the PPP loans during the height of the COVID crisis, the Paycheck Protection Programs. Anyway, Mike Faulkner, welcome back. You wrote a good piece here. You know, one thing I just want to say, you worked for Steven Mnuchin, who was Treasury Secretary. I worked with Steven Mnuchin. He's a very good friend of mine. In fact, it was a great collaboration for 3 years. I thought it was Mnuchin's best thing, the best part of the COVID rescue plan back in, you know, early 2020 at the height of the pandemic. And it did save a lot of jobs. I think you say 10 million may have saved 10 million jobs. And it was always meant to be forgiven, provided that the money given to the small businesses were used to maintain payrolls. Now, the student loan idea is completely different. First of all, it started way before COVID. It's continuing now. It may cost up to $1 trillion. So where do they come off comparing the two? That's what I don't understand.
Well, Larry, that's exactly what motivated me to write the piece, is that, you know, we can go back to the beginning of COVID and, you know, we were talking about what are we going to do to keep the economy afloat while we have all of these government-mandated shutdowns. And as you said, Secretary Mnuchin's key priority was we knew that the pandemic was going to differentially affect different types of businesses and that small businesses were going to be particularly hard hit and that we needed to support Main Street and make sure that the employees at these small businesses were going to be taken care of. We couldn't just throw even more millions of people onto the unemployment rolls. And so from the very beginning, when we were negotiating with Congress on the CARES Act, the paycheck, what became the Paycheck Protection Program, but something to support employment at small businesses was always a key priority. And we worked very hard with the Senate Small Business Committee, put together a program that said to employers, if you take out this money and you keep your employees on payroll, don't throw them on the unemployment rolls, keep them on payroll, whatever you have them do, we will forgive that loan. As you said, from the beginning, it was the employers only took out those loans because they knew they were going to be forgiven. The idea that there is any equivalency between keeping people employed during a pandemic versus going to school to improve your own economic situation is outrageous. I mean, the result, and you know, as you said, I'm a professor at the University of Maryland. I'm very proud of the education that goes on among our students so that they are a much more productive contributor to our economy. And as a result of that education, they make more money. And they are therefore in a position to pay back the money that they borrow. And it's structured as such. It's a loan from the beginning because the primary person who benefits from it is the student borrower. It's night and day to say that paying others during a pandemic versus taking out a loan to improve myself, that somehow there's some equivalency between them. And as I think you could tell of my tone in the piece, I was pretty outraged by the Biden administration making any comparison between the two.
It was the cheapest of cheap shots. That's all it was. Typical Bidenisms, cheapest of cheap shots, Michael. And look at the PPP worked. I mean, as you write, the unemployment rate never did get above 20%. It peaked at less than 15%. And it really helped pave the way for the subsequent recovery. It worked. Yeah, I always used to kid. I used to tell this to Mnuchin. I said, Stephen, this is your finest moment. It's your absolute. And I can remember I would go on, do media stuff virtually every day, okay, during this, the worst of the COVID. And the second quarter, was down 30-something percent. But it rebounded 30-something percent in the third quarter in no small part because of PPP. And I would call Stephen like 7 in the morning. We would talk. And I'd get the latest numbers. And Monica Crowley, who had a lot of this stuff, you know, in the public affairs department, I would get them. She would start emailing me on a daily basis. So I'd go out there on CNN and Fox and CNBC and say, here's what we're doing. It's a great thing. Remember, people said we couldn't get the money out. Then they said it wouldn't work. Then they said it was going to be a continuous depression. None of that came true. And the PPP was part, it was a big part of it. Mnuchin's finest hour. That's what I always said.
I have some lifelong memories I'll take away from Treasury. One of them was the week that President Trump signed the CARES Act. You know, Mnuchin and my team met in the Secretary's conference room, and he walked in the room and he said, I just told the press the most outrageous thing a Treasury Secretary has ever said, and that is that we're going to get a $350 billion program up and running in a week.
Yes.
And the people in this room are the ones that are going to do it.
Right.
It was an incredible honor that he asked me to be his deputy to implement that program. And I worked with him side by side every day. I was in his office many times a day getting that program up and running.
I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
And another proud moment, I don't know if you remember, June 5th, 2020, first Friday of the month, that jobs report came out. We were expected to have lost 8 million jobs during May of 2020. We instead regained 2.5 million jobs.
Yes, I remember that.
The forecast was off by more than 10 million, and that morning I wrote an email to my Treasury team and the senior folks over at SBA, and I said, the people on this email chain deserve credit for today's jobs report. It is because we got PPP up and running in a week that Americans across our nation were able to get back to their employers. And as you said, that's what facilitated that V-shaped recovery.
Yes.
That we realized in the third quarter.
Remember, I was out there selling it on Pebble Beach constantly all day. That was a great day. You are absolutely right. That was a great day. And I do think that had a lot to do with the V-shaped recovery. I really do. And, of course, the naysayers, guys on the left, hated it because it was working. But the student loan thing, Mike, is, look, that's almost in perpetuity. And you're not getting rid of loans. You're going to be back to what, 1.6 or 1.7 trillion loans in half a dozen years. And I noticed, interestingly, Penn Wharton model is saying this thing could actually cost us $1 trillion. And this is a case where the have-nots are paying for the haves, which is very unjust.
It really is, because if you look at that Penn Wharton report that they put out, they've got the income distribution on who is going to benefit from it. And approximately 70% of the benefit goes to the top three income quintiles.
Yep.
So it's normally you would think that we would put in, if we were going to provide additional fiscal support to the economy, which as you and I have already talked about, this economy does not need more demand stimulus.
Right.
But if you were to do it, the idea that you would target most of the benefit to the top 60% of income recipients just seems a bizarre form of fiscal support. And then couple that with the other piece you just said, which is we got zero student loan reform out of this.
Mm.
So we're just going to be back here a few years from now, if not worse, because what you just told parents and college students is don't bother tapping your 529 plan. Don't take that second job. Instead, take out a student loan because we're going to have the government relieve it. Why is that? And so we're just going to have people take on even more debt. Colleges and universities are going to see that there's just an increase in support for student loans. They'll have even less reason to curb their costs and keep tuition costs low. And so, yes, we're going to be right back here because there's no solution to it, and it's just a pre-election giveaway, which is why, you know, the final line of my op-ed says, you know, if you want to contrast it, DPP was about saving more than 10 million American workers and keeping them employed. The only people that Biden is looking to keep employed with this student loan bailout is his Democrat members of Congress.
Huh. You know that the student loan forgiveness or cancellation is financing higher tuitions. That's what's going to happen here. It's giving them leverage for higher tuitions and higher college costs. It's going to achieve everything that we don't want to achieve. And to compare this to the successful Paycheck Protection Program is just insanity. Michael, I got to leave it there. You're terrific. Great piece. Appreciate it very much. Folks, we'll take a quick break. Other side of the break, I want to talk about the midterm elections with ace pollster John McLaughlin. Lots in the media saying the Republicans have lost their mojo. I don't think they have. And actually, Rasmussen Reports just put out their latest polling on this. The GOP still has a 5-point lead in the generic poll. But anyway, ace pollster John McLaughlin up next. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.